about to continue our meditation. And I'd like to do that now with the understanding that the person who is meditating is going through changes, because the meditator is always the unreality. And while you meditate, you're seeking the light which is transforming you. And for a moment, you're apt to think humanly and draw the wrong conclusions. And it's best to just rest in the word until it identifies itself. Because when the word does speak to you, you know that no one in the world can correct it. You've got to go to the source. The fountain has to be proceeding from God. And that's where you go, right inside yourself, until you are out of the way, and all that is left, all that is standing or sitting or being where you are, is the absence of a mortal being. That's how you know you're in meditation. Until then, you're merely trying to. Now, when you're in meditation, you are the power. You are the Word made flesh, and it's different flesh. The Word made flesh is divine flesh, which is nothing like we know about. The Word made flesh receives the complete information necessary to that moment. Whatever must be done in your life, said in your life, thought in your life, realized in your life, that moment of understanding when the word comes to you, that moment will be a moment of God. That's the top. You've reached source. And that's the sign that you have been chosen. You need a lot of these signs. You need them for confidence that what you're doing is what you should be doing. We all need that confidence many times because the world and its hypnosis can wear us down. It can make us in a moment think that something is happening to us. It can suddenly threaten you. But the times when you have this experience within will come to your rescue. This threat, this external threat, it cannot make an impression upon the Christ of being. The Christ of being knows only that which is real and which is happening. It automatically filters every unreality out of your life. So I say you need many of these experiences, because then you don't have to look at the threat with human eyes. You don't have to resist it. You don't have to quiver. You don't have to respond. The Christ of your being will not even notice it. I'd like to look at Jesus for a moment. You didn't see much of his meditation. He had reached the point where, with his eyes open, he was in a state of realization all the time. But we still have to close our eyes, most frequently anyway. And while we're in this state of preparation to receive the voice of God, we have to be totally silent, not only in movement, but in thought. We have to fast from thought. This is a very important fast, because when you're fasting from thought, you're clearing the channel which is going to hear the Father's voice. When you sit before a patient, or you're on the telephone with a patient and you hang up, you must fast from thought, because you've got to sit there until God's healing grace is upon you. Sometimes it takes longer than you want it to take. Sometimes it's instantaneous. And when it's instantaneous, you know about it. You'll have those moments, and you'll be grateful for them, because they'll be phoning right away to tell you that something has happened. And all that's happened is you had a direct line direct to the source of being. And when it happens, why, whoever happens to call at that time is automatically reestablished into a new frame of consciousness, in which they themselves are not frightened by the activity of their body or their mind. I've had a heart attack stop the moment it started when somebody called and told me that their husband was having a heart attack. The moment she called, he was better. By the same token, when the same lady called a month later, it didn't happen that way. She couldn't recover as quickly as he did. Now, whether the channel for the voice of God was not clear, or the lady's receptivity was not clear, I don't know. But I know it didn't come through me as clearly as it came through for him. There are moments of human fallibility to consider. You're not always at your peak. You're not always able to dismiss the world. And that's why you practice. You'd like to be at your peak. You'd like to be able to not have to fight down 10 thoughts before you can get quiet enough. And so it's important, when you look out at the external world, not to be living in a state of constant reaction. If you're a sensitive person, you'll be in a constant state of reaction. You'll be saying, oh, those Lithuanians and Russians stealing all the headlines with their problems, and they're doing something down in this Peruvian country, and my friend had this happen to her here. If that's the nature that you're in, you're just living in the unreality. And then when the call comes to you, how do you get rid of it? How do you just stomp it out? And so you automatically adulterate, because no matter how long you're staying there in silence, if you have built up this attitude of reaction to the world, Your cleansing period has to be long and thorough before you can simply do as another person might do and sit there, and in 10 seconds somebody else may hear the voice, whereas you may never hear it. You're so busy with the world. So how you live is important. Now we have to get back to fundamentals, because how you live depends upon how you feel about life and yourself. If you haven't come to grips with who you are, then there's a whole pyramid of negations that follow you around. And every time you try to be still for the word, you have this whole period, this whole complex. It's a Chinese laundry ticket, practically. It's so long. And you don't know where to start to get free. As a matter of fact, you find that getting free is very difficult. Even to meditate is difficult. So I think we're going to review now the process of meditation from the standpoint of a healer. It's relatively the same as with a non-healer, but your work demands that you be free. And it's not only for yourself that you're being free, it's for the person who will be calling you. And so we've got to be sure that we know what we're doing. Send out your vibrations to the rest of the world every day. I am free, and here's why I'm free. I'm a free soul in God's paradise. And start seeing truth within yourself. Today there's going to be so many people say they're dying. So many in the hospitals they can't be counted. So much is happening in the world. But what's happening in my Father's kingdom? That's all that's really happening. So you are quickly taking a shuttle from this world to your kingdom. You must get into your kingdom as quickly as possible. And if you were a businessman, you'd be wise to do it. If you were a reverend, you'd be wise to do it. If you were a housewife, you'd be wise to do it, because that's where you're going to meet the Christ today. That's where whatever someone says to you will be the word of God. That's where you won't have to divide your life between good and evil, because it doesn't exist in the kingdom. Get to it. And how do you get to the kingdom? Simply, I accepted you with the Christ. Christ lives in the kingdom. And if Christ is your name, you are in the kingdom instantly. But even Christ knows when you're saying Christ and when you're feeling Christ. So you'll fool nobody. But if you want to be in the kingdom, the instant Christ is who you are. And you must live out from that, because otherwise you'll be a figment of imagination. What is Christ like? Are you willing to go through it to find out how much of a Christ you are? Well, you've got to do it someday. Now is as good a time as any. You don't think you're the best person in the world. Well, you're wrong. You are. You are the best person, if you're the Christ. You've got to start purifying who you are. Let's go through what we were thinking if we were the Christ. I can help anybody in the world. Well, can Christ do that? Anyone who came to him, he helped. It's still the same. So then maybe you can't do it now, but you're the Christ and you're trying to realize it, and the process of realization takes you up the ladder of thinking and then out of thinking. Do you feel that you can't do it? When you feel you can't do it, you're about to do it, because Christ will. There is a point in which you realize, what am I talking about? There's no me. Who is me? Christ isn't me. Christ is I. And then the words become self-explanatory. You're not playing with words. You're playing with being and non-being. If I am Christ, I can do things that no person can do. But if I can't do those things, then how can I be Christ? You run into all these problems that you mull over. You can't figure it out. You seem to be pretending. You'll have to get past that stage the best you can and come finally to the place where God's Word decides who you are. What God says is all there is. You're non-being if you're not. Well, finally, you might accept the fact that as a Christ, I have the potential in my human understanding to go all the way with no limitations. I don't have to build a bank account. I've got all that God has. I don't have to store in barns. I don't have to put away for a rainy day. In God's kingdom, there's no rainy day. Can I talk with others who also are the Christ? Try it and find out. Do you know anyone who is like the Christ, or is the Christ, or wants to be? Talk to him. You might be very much surprised. Your neighbor might be a lot higher than you thought he was. Try to expand your Christ household and try to be worthy of it. Now, anything can happen in Christ. Human limitations don't enter into it at all. And they happen rather quickly, too. In those who are Christed, the changes are quite abrupt. But always, they're not better humans. They're not trying to be. There's something that a human is not. They become aware that they are not humans. And you begin to find that there's another breed of man on the earth. There's immortals and there's mortals on the earth. But you can't see the immortals. Because they are not flesh. They have outgrown the need for improvement. They're too busy doing God's work, living God's life, living the God life. A Christ can be disguised to you as a simple housewife who makes good pies. They never do things badly, I tell you that. No matter what they do, it's always as perfect as it can be. You recognize one by the perfection, not that they talk about, the perfection that grows around them. You recognize a Christ in the making, for sure. It's very hard to get a Christ to be critical. You will recognize that the people you seem to like who are uncritical have a certain other qualities that come to your attention. Honesty. They never overestimate what they need. They just know what they need, and that's all they want, to do a job. Whenever you can find one, you're going to be blessed by that individual. They're not given to taking worldly positions in very high places, but they blend in the atmosphere so that you don't recognize them as Christ or as an individual living by the Christ, but they do their job well. They're coordinated. Try to surround yourself with such people if you can. And try to be one. Because as you are accepting yourself to be the Christ, there's a change taking place in you. You realize that God is running the universe. And it's a real universe. And God has reached you in some way to gather you in. And as you look around you at the world and realize that you are here to be helpful to it, to transform every individual you meet, even if it's just a shade. Transform every individual you meet without his even knowing it and without you even trying to change him. Just by being the Christ, you'll act as a state of transformation to other people. You will lift them. Silently, without trying, your being will be the lifting, and they in turn will begin lifting others. This is an age when the world begins to transform. As we become aware, one by one, that the Christ has been in us from the beginning, and then as we become aware of the Christ in us from the beginning and live closer to it, we are able to receive the directions from it which govern our day. You see, people who like to get off by themselves a little bit, there might be a reason, not just for the quiet atmosphere, or they might say so. They want to receive the Christ word. They want to live by guidance. They want Christ to emerge from the sleep that they're in and take over their lives. They know that Christ will live it correctly. Each of us will become more loving, not in the sense that we love a person, but in the sense that we can respect who one is. When I know that my neighbor is the Christ, and he knows that I am the Christ, I won't be fighting him. I won't be stealing from him, and he won't do that for me. Now, when one is the Christ and the other one isn't, you have the Christ protection. So even while you're still loving him, and he's not loving you back, you have the Christ protection. You need never be concerned about your neighbor. As long as you know who he is and who you are. You find little animals. They jump up to greet you. It's so clear that they're seeing something nobody else sees. The Christ individual is always at home with the animals, because the animals recognized the absence of human impurities. They don't stop and figure it out. Their purity responds to your purity. So then we have thought of certain characteristics of the Christ. And I'm willing to bet that you say, well, I measure up pretty good. I have that quality, and I'm beginning to see now that I'm talking about human qualities. Well, Christ is going to lift you into superhuman qualities, into divine qualities that are not even on your books. You begin to think, to act to a higher level of yourself than you ever knew possible. Maybe you've felt that already. The one difficult thing as a mortal being is to expect something in return for your favors. The day you have done a favor and look for nothing in return, you begin to realize, now that's not like me. I like to get paid for my work. I like a pound for a pound. And you realize that something's come over you. Giving is more fun. Giving is more rewarding. Because when you start giving, you find you want to give more. And it becomes different. Now, what you're giving is your attitude. your statement to the other individual, I recognize you. You're somebody. And I treat you like somebody because you are somebody. And because I treat you like somebody, what you've got to give comes back to me. Somebody can give something to me. He can give me qualities that he couldn't have given if he didn't have the nature of God in him. And so as you recognize the Christ recognizes you. There's no selfishness in Christ. There's nothing to be selfish about. If there's something left to be selfish about, then you haven't climbed the ladder. What can you be selfish about when God has given you everything? When all that I have is thine? Maybe some of these things you're finding out about yourself are signposts along the way to tell you the level of Christhood that you've attained. You really don't have to want anything. Usually that's when you get it. We become certain that there's my name somewhere and that what belongs to me must come to me. There's nothing in this world that can stop it. You don't go out and fight for possessions. You know very well that whatever is allotted to you by the Christ will come to you. There's nothing can stop it, and you are able to relax in the knowledge that everything I need is now mine. Until the day when I make a translation into the higher universe, the real universe. Because the universe I'm living in is in the conscious, outdoor, visible world is not God's universe. Out of this should come a peace. The peace does pass understanding because you yourself look at the peace and say, I don't have a thing in the world to worry about. This must be done. I'd like to do it. But somehow it's being done in the invisible. And I'd like to go over there, but somehow I'm going to be there if I'm to be there, and I may not even have to travel to be there. I might just be there. Space becomes different. Time becomes different. As the world around you changes its complexion, as I in the midst of you lives you, you start feeling the growth of Christ in you, the growth of the Christ understanding. You find that your emotions, your thoughts, your intelligence, everything seems to correspond so that they're all on the same level of performance. You will see openings you never saw for you. No one to compete with you. There's no competition in the Christ world. But yet you're still here. You're still here in this appearance world, but you're living in Christ, in the kingdom of God, while appearing here. And behold, I make all things new. It was a word in the Bible. It's an activity in your consciousness now. The I is your Christhood. The newness is the expansion of your powers. You always had these powers, but as you come into Christhood through your consciousness, you find that the Christ powers will do the healing for you. You will try at first to do your own healings, but you'll discover that Christ heals. And as you empty out away, you are transformed to the Christ which heals. And things that were impossible to your mortal self are not to your Christ self. But you can't control your Christ self. It controls you. At this state now, we could be sitting and a call could come, and you would find you are a better healer than you were a half hour ago. Because what could happen at this state would be that the individual calling you would be the Christ that you are. You've already achieved the oneness. And so this is when you have the instantaneous healing. The person calls up, but the truth of that person is Christ. They call you who are in a state of listening for the word. And the healing is an automatic thing. It's automatic. No matter who is afflicted, they are affected by the Christ. Now, when we come to the world of people living almost a world under you, that depends on whether you've attained a feeling of the Christ or not, you must realize that everything that happens to them seems real to them, and their world isn't real at all. You've just come out of it. You come out by knowing that you are the Christ, being lifted by the Christ, and they tell you this is wrong and that's wrong. Yes, it would seem that way to them. In fact, it would seem that hardly much could be considered right. Every day brings a new worry. It's amazing how many people are free of worry on this earth. There's so few. No matter who they are, their worries are constant. But only because of the absence of Christ in their consciousness. The minute they become aware of Christ as reality of their being, then there's no point to worry anymore. But Christ is the all-knowing, the all-perfect, the all-power. You get to see that what you've been searching for is simply the kingdom of God, where it's all perfect, all moving along with God's rhythm. If you ever want to see it in action, very quickly, I've mentioned this before, but if ever you want to see God's perfect world in action, when you're driving on the highway, just realize that everybody is God driving a car. The fellow in front of you, the fellow behind you. Get that realization. And you'll be amazed what happens after you get it. You look out, and everyone's driving at the same speed. Their distances apart never change. Never more, never less, never speed up, never slow down. They proceed like automation. You look at it and you're fascinated. But everyone is proceeding in automation. At the right tempo, not to encroach upon anyone else's space. And that only happens when you get into the realization of the Christ. You sit there dumbfounded. No accidents will occur. Nobody will get run over, nothing like that. Because when you establish Christ in one, that Christ governs all the rest. But it's the same with other factors, like weather. The Christ in you controls the weather because the weather is perfect in Christhood. Test them out. You'll be surprised at what can happen. Now, when this happens once, twice, three times, that a person gets well through your efforts, you'll fall into a rut and you'll think you do everything the same way. I'll just do the same thing I did the last time, it'll be the same thing. But no matter how many times you have to handle a case, or our cases, nothing is done the same way. You go through the forms of doing it the same way, but what Christ does, you'll never figure out. Christ does nothing the same ever. But Christ gets the results. Now then, if you have accepted that the responsibility is not yours to heal, it's the responsibility of Christ, and then you have that difficult step where I'm not me, I am the Christ. And then after you let Christ heal, you will see that people will announce that they're well while you have done nothing. And you know Christ has done it. But you have cleared the way. It appears that you clear the way through human procedures and all that. But Christ is running the perfect universe of God right now. And Christ will take anyone into that universe who wants to be, sincerely wants to be, who's willing to give up all else that isn't Christ. That's what's slowing us down in our human realizations. He's willing to give up everything that isn't Christ to live on that plateau. Now, what I'm telling you is that these feelings that we have are possible for each of us. That we have this invisible soul to run our ship. You don't need a compass. You don't need the wheel. You don't need the ship. Just this Christ. And wherever you are, there will be an activity of God present. You have the Savior with you. The only Savior there is the Spirit of God in you.